If you feel like society has lost its way, or that you've lost your way in society, good. Now's your time to be a co-creator in what you want society to look like. In a way that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents didn't have an opportunity to do. This is a period to reshape the world in your image. What do you want that to be? You have to know who you are first.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of March 18th to the 24th. The highlight of the week is the sun transits into Aries. So it's the beginning of the astrological new year, so to speak, because the sun returns to the sign that begins the zodiac, the sign of Aries, the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, ruled by Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict. But before we get there, we're starting with Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, which is cruising, transiting through Aries, the cardinal fire sign, symbolized by the ram, ruled by Mars. The reason why I say Mercury is cruising is because last week we were talking about Mercury aligning with Pluto in Aquarius at 1 degree. This week we're talking about Mercury forming a conjunction with two key points in Aries, beginning first with the North Node, the karmic pathway of the soul or soul's purpose, followed by a conjunction with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound. This is kind of the frequency all week as Mercury forms a conjunction with the North Node from Sunday, March 17th, to Tuesday, March 19th, with the exact conjunction occurring on Monday, March 18th, while the conjunction with Chiron occurs a little bit after that. That begins on Tuesday, March 19th, and continues until Thursday, March 21st, with the exact conjunction occurring on Wednesday, March 20th. But there's one other significant point to mention here, is that on Monday, when Mercury forms that conjunction with the North Node, and a lot of people ask, what's a conjunction? A conjunction is when you have two points that are at the same degree in the same sign. So on the day that Mercury forms the conjunction with the North Node in Aries is the day that Mercury transits into its retrograde shadow. So we're beginning this process of the retrograde. Mercury is going to begin its retrograde transit on April 1st. The retrograde ends on April 25th. What's interesting is when the retrograde ends on April 25th, Mercury is going to be right where it is right now on Monday, also conjunct with the North Node. So the North Node is just kind of hanging out around here at 15 degrees in Aries. Mercury's passing it right now, and then Mercury's going to end its retrograde right on top of the North Node in Aries. Mercury moves out of its retrograde shadow on May 13th. The theme here with Mercury and the North Node, the big question is, who am I? How am I communicating with others? Am I communicating from a place of authenticity? Am I being myself in the way that I communicate? Am I speaking ideas that are authentic to me? Are they authentic to my soul? the North Node in Aries is, what is the authentic nature of my soul?
That's a deep question.
Yes. And hopefully when you go there, you find love for yourself. Through that love, there's courage to be yourself. There's confidence in the expression of yourself. And from that, authenticity. So now I know who you are, and you know who I am.
How do you think you know if you're being authentic? That's the first question coming up for me.
I love that question.
Maybe for some of our listeners too.
I love that question.
It sounds like a beautiful ideal, but how do you know? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, of course. Yes, absolutely. How do you know? I think you know because of the way that you feel. If you're trying to be something you're not, at least from my own perspective in my own life, when I'm not being myself, I don't feel comfortable. And that's not to say that I feel comfortable when I'm being myself, because sometimes I'm in a situation around other people where it doesn't feel comfortable to be myself. Because I don't feel accepted by the people that I'm around. But it feels even more uncomfortable to pretend to be something that I'm not. And even after being around, let's say, a group of people and I didn't feel like I was acting like myself, I'm going to feel a little icky afterwards.
And how does that show up for you, that icky? Is it in the body? Is it an emotional experience?
I think it can be a lot of different ways, but I think in this specific example, it shows up in the mind. Like, after I've interacted with somebody, what's going on in my conscious awareness? Do I feel clear? Or am I kind of mulling everything over about the experience that I just had? Because maybe I wished I would have said something differently than I had said, or I'm second-guessing something that I had said. There is an insecurity in reflecting upon the interaction that I had with another person or a group of people, because I feel like I didn't communicate in a way that I feel confident of.
So if you find yourself, for you specifically, maybe overthinking or ruminating on an interaction.
Doubting.
That for you, that's a sign that maybe you weren't being authentic.
Yes. Yes. If I'm doubting the interaction, doubting the way that I communicated or portrayed myself.
So by contrast, when you have been authentic, you feel more easeful afterwards.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about it.
It's like there's an automatic.
Yeah, there's no second guessing. I had the interaction. I've moved on with my day. I've moved forward. You know, that's the thing about Aries too, is it's Aries isn't looking behind. Aries is like, where are we going? Like, let's kick down the door. It's not back here. It's over there. So if I'm thinking about the past, then maybe there's something that occurred during that interaction or that communication that I had with someone else that does not feel right in terms of who I am. But if it feels right, then I don't think about it. I've moved on.
Right.
For better or worse, it's like, well, yeah, I didn't even think about that because I feel good about what I said. I feel good about the verbal exchange that I had, the sharing of ideas that I had with this other person. What about for you? Can you relate to this?
Sure. I mean, I think I'm someone who, maybe this is just my Cancer rising, but I often kind of replay things from the past, not necessarily because they were uncomfortable, but maybe because they did feel really aligned. So my process might be a little different because of my Cancer energy. But I appreciate how you mentioned that it can also be uncomfortable to step into authenticity. That resonates with me, certainly. And I think maybe the degree to which that resonates, maybe for our listeners, would depend on their chart.
Totally.
Too.
Well, like when you're thinking about the Cancer energy, which squares the Aries energy, because Cancer is cardinal water, Aries is cardinal fire. Cancer is reflecting upon the past. Mm-hmm. Aries is looking ahead. And then there's Capricorn, which also squares Aries. And Capricorn is very controlling. It's like it's looking ahead too, but it's, well, I've got to be here and then do that and go take this step and then that step and so on and so forth. And Aries is just like, I'm going to go take what I want.
Mm-hmm. Wait, where's their Capricorn?
I'm talking about Cancer and Capricorn as the two energies of the zodiac that conflict with Aries because they're both cardinal, but earth and water don't really vibe with the fire mm-hmm. of Aries.
Yeah, my experience of stepping into authentic expression is often somatic, so I feel it in my body. Mm. So one thing that will happen for me, I remember this distinctly from several times in my grad school program, is almost this like sensation in my chest and something rising up in my throat would start to feel activated in some way, almost like something needs to emerge, something needs to be spoken, and this real kind of an urgency in my body.
What do you mean by that urgency? Like you felt kind of anxious that you had to speak, like you didn't want to speak, but you're like, well, I have to speak now. So it's like kind of...
I wouldn't say that it feels quite like anxiety when this happens for me. It feels more like responsibility.
Mm.
Like there is this component of, oh, do I have to say this thing that might be controversial or that, so there is a sense of obligation and maybe some resistance, but there's also this real sense of like, I don't know if I want to equate it completely with like having to vomit, but there is like an upward sensation for me of like, oh, it's got to come out. This is a one direction sort of a, it's moving up and out.
Yes.
It cannot be suppressed down anymore.
Yes.
And that's how I experience my authentic expression.
I love it. I love that. Yes. You know, Aries is battling against any suppression of self.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about self-expression. So it's like, you know, maybe there's even greater confidence for all of us during this period than normal, where it's like, yeah, I said what I said, and I don't care how it affected anyone else. Because it's, if you don't like me, then you don't like me. Okay, big deal. You know, this is really bringing up the energy to help you stand up for yourself in the early part of the week. But then as we get to more of the middle, later part of the week, when Mercury forms a conjunction to Chiron, which forms that exact conjunction on Wednesday, that's when maybe you're kind of reflecting about what you said on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and you're like, oh,
uh-oh.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe you're second guessing what you're saying, or maybe you're beating yourself up in some way because you didn't say what you know you should have said.
Hmm.
So Mercury conjunct Chiron in Aries is urging us to take a conscious look at our insecurities, that I do need to speak up for myself. Or do I feel upset about what I said? I didn't say it the right way, but I need to be confident that even though I didn't say it exactly the way that I thought I should have said it, or maybe I didn't articulate myself in the best way that I could have, it's still me.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to own who I am and how I'm communicating. And I want to do that confidently because you know how they always say they, whoever they are, but it's like, it's all about being confident. Just be confident in who you are. People gravitate towards others who they'll say like, Gabrielle is a real straight shooter. I know what I'm getting with her. You know that like people use that as a compliment to describe others, that fill in the blank is a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm getting. Like, they're not hiding who they are.
Right.
You may not like them all the time, but you know what? At least you know what you're getting with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a pretty universal compliment.
Mm-hmm. And that's the energy of Aries. That's how I see Aries. Sagittarius is like that too. But Aries is just more about charging ahead. mm-hmm. and putting your words into action.
Well, I think there is something interesting about, like, Aries energy encourages us to be impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about making our unconscious conscious, I think there is an impulsive quality to it. It's more like just letting things emerge and be spoken versus thinking about or feeling about them too much even.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an impulsive response to something, it has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's coming from your most authentic expression, which I know we associate the unconscious with Pisces, but mm-hmm. I think that impulse is connecting us to this part of ourselves that we're not aware of.
Yes. It's the animal instincts. That's what Aries is. Animal instincts. It's don't think, do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, speak. Just whatever comes up, that's what it is.
Yeah. So in some ways, this Chiron piece where you're like maybe having some remorse or maybe you're just noticing how you really feel,
mm-hmm.
how you really think, what's really going on for you. And maybe part of that Chiron piece is maybe connecting with the wounded part of you that was the part that was suppressed.
Mm.
So it could show up. Maybe it could show up in a variety of ways, like you've mentioned.
And we're going to have a real opportunity to work with this energy and to sort of get it right because of the retrograde, because, you know, Mercury is aligning with the North Node now, and then it's going to move forward. It's going to conjunct with Chiron. It's going to move beyond that. And then it's going to retrograde back. It's going to conjunct with Chiron again. And then it's going to end the retrograde with the North Node. So it's going to be right on top of the North Node for an extended period of time, right around the end of the retrograde, which is April 25th. And then it's going to move forward and it's going to conjunct with Chiron a third time.
Okay.
So we're really going to have an opportunity to open our mouths, say the wrong thing, and be okay with it. And figure out how to say it a better way. Maybe not as bad as the first time, but not as much as we really wanted to. Not as authentic as we wanted to be or as articulate as we wanted to be. But then we're going to have a longer opportunity. So hopefully by the time, you know, we move out of this retrograde shadow period, which is May 13th, and then shortly after that, Mercury transits into Taurus, by then we're very clear in terms of how we're communicating, how we're thinking, we're not thinking, we're just speaking, but we feel good about who we are, how we express ourselves from a verbal perspective, how we share our ideas.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate how you're indicating that, like, we have some opportunity to practice.
Yes.
I think it's like anything else. It takes practice.
Exactly.
It's a new muscle, you know, and if you're someone who has been in the habit of suppressing yourself, or maybe you've been conditioned that way by your family, by your circumstances at work, by the world at large, depending on, you know, what your worldviews are, this is going to feel completely different.
Yes.
And it's going to take some time
to
get comfortable learning how to express that authentic part. So I think a really important piece here is like what we talked about, identifying, like, how do you even know when you're being authentic?
Mm-hmm.
Because for some of us, that might be such a foreign concept.
Like you just asked me, how do you know?
How do you know? I think it's a great question though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And like, it took me a while to figure out, like, that this sensation in my body that was like, oh my God, am I going to throw up? Like, what is going on? No. That is just something authentic within you that is ready to be expressed.
Yes.
And so whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like for our listeners, I encourage you to think about it so that you can better recognize when that opportunity is present for you.
Mm.
And then to your point, maybe you don't take the opportunity the first time it comes around. Maybe you have to wait one more time, or, you know, you're not quite ready. I think there's so many steps to this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one image that comes up for me sometimes when I think about authenticity is, I don't know if anyone did this as a kid, but it takes three to play this game. So two who are spinning the jump rope, and then the third person to jump in. Is jumping in. And I think sometimes that experience of jumping in, because there's something, this Aries energy has a real cutting quality, and it's a penetrative energy. Right. So there's also a particular timing that you have to get right.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like when you're ready to express, and then when you actually do express, like there's not room to pause or wait. It's coming when it's coming.
Yes.
And so the experience for me feels a little bit like being the one who's jumping into that moving rope.
Great analogy.
And needing to just go.
Like
that impulse is going to show you when to go at the right time. But the more you think about it, the more you're going to get hit with the rope.
Exactly. You don't have time to think.
Yeah. By the way, that was like the most stressful game for me as a kid. I would just stand there watching the rope spinning around and like, oh, just missed it. Oh, oh no. Yeah. But I understand it sort of in this context now.
Yes.
Where there's no, this is not a time to really be reflective in some way.
No.
Even though Mercury retrograde is a deeply reflective time.
For sure.
There's an interesting juxtaposition here.
There is. Absolutely. Yeah. We're being supported through this process with the sun transiting into Aries, which happens on Thursday, March 19th. And then the sun is transiting through Aries from March 19th to April 19th. That's typically when the sun is in Aries from March 19th to April 19th. That's when it's in Aries this year. So the sun is bringing its light, life, and vitality to the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram. The sun is exalted in Aries. The sun rules Leo. That's where the sun is in its strongest position. But the second strongest position for the sun is Aries, because it's about authenticity. This is who I am. I think of Aries, when you think of the three fire signs, I think of Aries as the spark. It's what lights the fire. Leo builds the fire, and then Sagittarius is when the fire leaves the campsite and burns down the forest. So that's the those are the three fire signs from my perspective. But this is really helping to invigorate our identities so that we have a clear idea of who we are. It's the sun is the battery that's powering our human ship. So this could be a challenging period, again, for those who were born with key astrological points in Cancer or Capricorn, because Cancer is cardinal water, Capricorn's cardinal earth, and Aries is cardinal fire. So they're all cardinal. They make a strong aspect to each other, but water extinguishes fire, fire boils water, earth extinguishes fire, and fire scorches earth. So that's the tension that occurs between Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn. So if you were born with key points or planets in Cancer or Capricorn, for Cancer, you're being urged to release any subtleties. You know, the crab moves sideways, but the ram doesn't move sideways. It's very direct. It's boom.
It charges straight at you.
Yeah, it's just like, you ever see two rams smack horns? I mean, it happens so fast and it's so powerful. It's like you blink your eye and it's already happened. It's already over. And it's like the sound of two rams smacking horns together. It sounds like a firecracker. It's like an eruption.
Well, you know what's interesting about that image is how much it reminds me of the birthing process. So most of us, when you travel down the birth canal, you're head first. And so you're similar to how the ram is almost coming out, like is the part of the rams that are making contact is the crown of the head.
Yes.
So it's almost like your eyesight is not really part of that experience. Like you're purely in that instinctual mode where you don't even need to see where you're going.
Exactly.
And it's like that when you're being born as well.
It's a headbutt.
It's a headbutt. And it's like when the baby's coming, and it cannot be stopped.
Head first. Aries rules the head.
Exactly.
It's, I mean, so
Aries rules the head. It's the beginning of the astrological new year, mm-hmm. which is also symbolic that it starts at the top of the body.
Yes, exactly. This is the beginning of spring in the northern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. This is when the days become longer than the nights in the northern hemisphere.
Hmm.
The beginning of spring, the sun in Aries.
Well, and that speaks to, I guess, the heat of the fire energy. Mm-hmm.
The fire is beginning to build.
We're exposed.
The flowers are blooming.
We're exposed more to the heat of the day, mm-hmm. the light of the sun.
Yes. As this is happening, of course, just like we were talking last week, how every planet that transits into an air sign, a fire sign, or a fixed sign, the first aspect that it makes is with Pluto, the god of death, lord of the underworld, the planet of transformation, which is at 1 degree in Aquarius, the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer. This is an aspect that is occurring from Tuesday, March 19th until Friday, March 22nd, with the exact sextile occurring on Thursday, March 21st. So we're involving the community now, the group, the club, the organization, the social network, the social cause. How are you showing up in that dynamic? Hopefully, as you are. Mm-hmm. Come as you are. Be yourself. With the Capricorn energy, the stress of that in Aries, because I just mentioned the Cancer, but Capricorn is the planner. We've got to go here before we get to there, and then we got to go there after that, and then we go here. Aries is like, the goat is plotting its course, but the ram is like, I'm kicking down the door. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm charging through. So when you think of this as being the start of the astrological new year, who are you going to be in this next year? And more importantly, with regards to the aspect to Pluto and Aquarius, who are you within the group construct? This is lesson one of the next 20 years.
Wow.
The sun is going to be aligning with Pluto and Aquarius every year for the next 20 years. So in 20 years, who are you with regards to the group might be different, probably will be different than who you are within the group today, right now.
Well, and that's a good point because we're always changing. We're in a constant state of change individually, collectively.
Mm-hmm.
The planets are always moving.
Yes.
So the idea that you are authentically the same all the time isn't possible.
Exactly. That's who I was 5 years ago. That's not who I am right now.
Right. So in some way, there's always this experience of emerging from the birth canal as a new version of yourself.
Yes.
And I think maybe that image too of having to push your way into authenticity in some way
mm-hmm.
kind of resonates for me.
Yes.
So in some way, it's not going to get easier because mm-hmm. every time you become comfortable with this new part of yourself,
you're going to be pushed further.
You're pushed further and you also maybe are changing simultaneously. So there's this real sense of needing to get sort of comfortable with the discomfort.
Yes.
It's like you said at the beginning, you're uncomfortable whether you've been authentic or not sometimes. That there can be discomfort either way.
Yes, there can be. There can be discomfort in being yourself. There can be discomfort in not being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what's important, most important to think about with regards, I feel, to this interaction between the sun in Aries and Pluto in Aquarius is when you think of the rams coming together, headbutting, there's an impact that they have with each other. So what is the impact that you want to make within the group, within your community, within your society? That's where it begins. What is the impact that I want to have on society? And then you have that impact, and then next year it's going to change, and so on and so forth, year after year. And as you have that impact, you're going to grow and evolve, and you're going to shift society. But society is also going to shift you. It's about being active. It's not how society is going to affect me. It's how I'm going to affect society.
So is that impact part connected to the Aquarius piece?
Well, the impact is Aries. The where you're having the impact, society, that's the Aquarius. Aries is the impact. Aquarius is the society. So you are having an impact on society. What is the impact that you want to have on society or on the group, the club, the social network, the social cause? What impact do you want to have? How are you going to affect society? It's not about being passive. Aries is active.
I hear you about the impact and about thinking of the two rams. There's certainly impact there. I guess I'm questioning, does that impulsive energy, how much awareness does that impulsive energy have of where it's landing? I mean, it lands somewhere. But how much of that driving force is about how that's going to land for other people?
It's not thinking about how it's going to land for other people, I guess. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I guess I'm...
Does it sound like I'm saying, how am I going to affect other people?
Well, when you're thinking about impact, to me, that's something else. Besides that impulsive Aries.
Oh, it's different?
In my understanding of it, that's what I'm curious.
Well, I think of it as like the ram has an impulse. What is that impulse towards? That impulse is to establish dominance so that it can lead the herd. So in what way are you going to lead society in whatever direction? It should be instinctual. Like for me, the impact that I want to have on society is to help people understand themselves so they can accept, appreciate, and love the divine unique miracles that each and every individual is that I come into contact with in society, in the community, through the language of astrology. By helping everyone that I come into contact with, whether it's through the podcast or a client, to become conversational, if not fluent, in the language of astrology in order for them to have a deeper understanding of who they are so they can love themselves, which is an Aries note, if you will, because Aries is about self-love. That's the impact that I want to have. That's my intention.
First of all, beautifully said.
Thank you.
I can hear how that is incorporating that, the directionality of that Aries energy, and also keeping in mind where it's landing, which to me is that Aquarius piece.
Yes, understanding that you have an impact. You are going to have an impact on society, or society is going to have an impact on you. It's probably a combination of the two. But the more active you can be, the more that you will find yourself in a community that is accepting and loving of you. Because you're loving of yourself and you're expressing that love with those that surround you.
Courageously.
Yes.
Right. I think maybe that's a word we haven't spoken to enough, is how...
How much courage?
How much courage it takes to be authentic.
Yes. And so over the next 20 years of the sun in Aries forming a sextile with Pluto in Aquarius, we are learning to find ourselves within the group dynamic in a way that is more confident than we've been since the last time the sun aligned with Pluto in Aquarius, which was the late 1790s. So if you feel like society has lost its way, or that you've lost your way in society, good. Now's your time to be a co-creator in what you want society to look like, in a way that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents didn't have an opportunity to do. This is a period to reshape the world in your image. What do you want that to be? You have to know who you are first.
Absolutely.
So as the sun is transiting into Aries, there is Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, transiting through the mutable water sign, symbolized by the fish, the sign where Venus is exalted, Pisces, forms a conjunction. It moves to the same degree as Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority. Venus forms this conjunction with Saturn from Tuesday to Friday, the same time that the sun is forming its sextile with Pluto in Aquarius. This is March 19th to the 22nd, with an exact conjunction occurring Thursday, March 21st, the same day the sun forms an exact sextile with Pluto. As we were talking about with the sun in Aries forming that sextile with Pluto, it's about being able to speak up, speak out, be yourself in the community, within the group construct. But Venus forming that conjunction with Saturn hopefully brings a little bit of compassion and empathy with regards to relationships, being able to hold ourselves accountable for our part, and taking responsibility for what we need to do within the relationships, while the other side is also being held accountable for their role as well.
Would you say that's also the connection between Venus and Saturn helping us enjoy doing the work, like enjoy seeing things from that other
side?
Yeah,
maybe finding love for the work, because Venus is the planet of love and Saturn is the planet of work and responsibility. I love that reflection. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like we will be able to use that
yes,
this week.
Let's use it.
Need all the help we can
get. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, so it's kind of an interesting week, because as the sun moves into Aries, and the sun is exalted in Aries, it's in a position of power, as we know. Venus is exalted in Pisces, so that's happening with Saturn, taking responsibility, finding some joy in the work that is required to have a healthy relationship. I love that reflection. Thank you, Gabriella. Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, transits into Pisces. So as the sun leaves Pisces and transits into Aries, Mars leaves Aquarius and transits into Pisces. So there's still going to be four planets in Pisces, with Saturn, the planet of responsibility, Neptune, the planetary ruler, the planet of dreams and fantasy, Venus, which is exalted in Pisces, the goddess of love, and Mars, the god of war. So still four planets transiting through Pisces, even though we have all this energy in Aries with Mercury, the Sun, Chiron, and the North Node. So four energies in Aries and four energies in Pisces. But Mars is transiting through Pisces from March 22nd to April 30th. The last time Mars transited through Pisces was April 14th to May 24th, 2022. The time before that was May 12th to June 27th, 2020. So think back to those dates for clues on what could be in store for you this time around as Mars transits through Pisces.
Do you think this Mars transit through Pisces is bringing conflict into our unconscious realm, or maybe conflict's too strong of a word.
I think it's a wake-up call.
It's activating something.
Yeah, it's like somebody's like drumming beneath the surface of your mind, like trying mm-hmm. to raise up the unconscious into the subconscious or the conscious. It's the god of war and the sign of the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So it is sort of like an internal wake-up call. Like, what is going on in your dreams right now?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more activity in your unconscious. Maybe there's conflicts happening within your unconscious. Maybe you're fighting someone in your dreams. I don't know. Could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Well, and it's interesting to consider when there's conflict in your unconscious, there's conflict for you too in your waking life that you're just not aware of. Uh-huh. Right. So this could be an especially powerful week to do dream work, which mm-hmm. I feel like I'm always saying we should be doing dream work because. Well,
but that's okay, because yeah. this is four planets in Pisces. You know, even before Venus and Mars moved into Pisces, Mercury and the Sun were in Pisces. So we've been experiencing a lot of this Piscean energy all the way back since mid-February. And even before that, just, you know, go back to last year when Saturn moved into Pisces. It's a big theme, Pisces. Dreams are a big theme. The unconscious is a big theme. So I don't think you can really talk too much about dream work and the importance of dream work with Saturn in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, the Sun and Mercury just transited through Pisces. Now they're in Aries. And then you've got Venus and Mars in Pisces now. So it's Pisces, 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 dreams, dreams, dreams. Watch some David Lynch movies, you know.
Yes, I mean, really sink in.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I think it's really important to come into relationship with your inner conflicts because that's where I think the work really starts. Often there are parts of ourselves that we have repressed, denied, or ignored because at some point it was safer for us to do so. You know, whether or not these parts of ourselves were intentionally repressed by our parents or not, there's all sorts of like nonverbal communication. Like we've talked about as children, we're always learning vicariously through observation, learning through many different modalities. But if you had a parent, for example, who repressed a part of themselves, even if they weren't actively repressing that in you, you would learn vicariously that you might also benefit in some way from repressing that same part.
Exactly.
So I want to be really clear that we're not always blaming our parents, right? I mean, sometimes there is real wounding that happens from the parent to the child in terms of what is repressed, denied, or ignored. But oftentimes it just sort of happens through like this vicarious learning process. And those parts that have been repressed to the unconscious of the parent can also be passed down. That's essentially the same way that intergenerational trauma gets passed down through family systems. It's not that trauma isn't consciously being reenacted from parent to child, parent to child. But it's within the psychic system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there because it's like monkey see, monkey do, right?
It is. Well, that's kind of the I would say, in front of the curtain part. Mm. But then there is this sort of behind the scenes piece that's happening too.
Like through working with a therapist, let's say, you might uncover, oh, I didn't realize that, yeah, my mom always did that thing, and that's why I do this thing. Is that mm-hmm. what you're kind of alluding to?
Yes. Well, like one example I'm thinking of are body image issues. Like you might have a parent who was really critical of their own body, their own self-image.
Yes.
And so as a child, you might take that on, even though they were never critical of you and your body.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So that's sort of one way that might show up. And I think that's probably a really common one. especially between mothers and daughters.
Or like a father who never cries, never shows his emotions.
Exactly.
And so the son takes that on and is like, that's how I'm supposed to behave.
Absolutely.
Even though the father's not saying, don't cry.
Right.
But you never see your father cry. You never see your father get emotional, be soft. So you grow up reflecting that.
Yes.
So this Mars energy is really going to, I think, dig deep into some of these areas to churn up whatever it is we've been hiding from that is ready to be integrated within our conscious awareness.
Absolutely.
So this is typically a challenging period for those that were born with key astrological points or planets in Gemini or Sagittarius. Because as we know, as we've talked about Pisces a lot the last few weeks, Gemini is the lightest sign. It's the sign of the conscious. It wants to keep things light, moving, can be glib. But Pisces is like, no, we've got to go deep.
We got to drop the anchor.
Exactly. and Sagittarius is that positive, optimistic, oh, I can see all the possibilities. They're amazing. And Pisces is like, yeah, there are a lot of amazing possibilities, but we can also see where it's all going to go wrong. And so it kind of rains on that Sagittarius fire. So if you were born with key points or planets in Gemini or Pisces, then find that compassion within yourself. Can you be courageously compassionate to yourself? Mars is the planet of courage, and Pisces is the sign of compassion. So you want to really be courageous with your compassion during this period.
So you're saying this transit in particular will be more or less sort of welcoming, like this willingness to look at the conflict will be experienced as a more challenging invitation for some.
For some, yes. Like if you're somebody who is born with Venus in Gemini or Sagittarius, then prepare yourself for some conflicts in your relationships whenever Mars gets to the degree of where your Venus is. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a conflict. It all depends on how you're working with the energy. Are you following your North Node? What's going on in your life? But things might come up unexpectedly with that Mars energy where a conflict happens that is meant to make you aware of something that you were unconscious of, because now you need to be conscious of it so that you can work through it.
Right.
And that's where the challenge is.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants to hear, or I shouldn't say nobody, I imagine most people don't want to hear, oh great, I'm going to have a conflict in my relationship. That sounds like great news.
Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, though, and this is just a belief of mine, but maybe is supportive if anyone's feeling some trepidation about having to face conflicts or what that might mean. I have a belief that when we gain the awareness of something that needs to be looked at, that it's happening when we're ready to look at it, that we don't get these insights before we're ready to process them.
Of course.
And a great example of this is when you remember a dream, you're remembering it because the ego has allowed that information to come into your consciousness because you have enough ego strength to see that other perspective, to experience that element of surprise or that cognitive dissonance that, you know, something's not matching here and it's important to reconcile this piece of information.
Right.
So that brings me some peace when I think about, gosh, I don't know what I'm going to find in my dreams. What if it's What if I'm not ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that you are. If it's coming through, it's something that's available for you to work through.
Totally. Totally. Absolutely. For sure. So, and that's what Mars is doing, is it's giving you the courage to face those deep parts of yourself that maybe you've been hiding from and protecting yourself from. Now it's bubbling to the surface so that you can make peace with your unconscious. I also want to say, too, that Mars in Pisces is about having the courage to follow your intuition and having the courage to have faith. And maybe that's something that you are alluding to here, is like having the faith that even if you are experiencing conflicts in a relationship or in your own mind, have the faith that you're experiencing this conflict because you're ready to move forward to this new phase, this new place in your life.
Yeah, beautifully said. I like, too, thinking about having faith in your own intuition as well.
Yes.
And developing your intuition can really be like strengthening a muscle. It can be a practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is a practice, absolutely. There's one other F, too, I want to just mention. One other F word for Pisces is forgiveness.
Okay.
So courage to have faith, courage to forgive yourself, and to forgive others who exist in the deep parts of your unconscious.
Beautiful.
On Saturday, March 23rd, there's two planets. One is moving out of its retrograde shadow. The other is moving into its retrograde shadow. There's Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority, transiting into its retrograde shadow in the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish Pisces. So, in order to have clarity about the impact that you're going to have on society, you need to take responsibility for your unconscious world. You need to take responsibility in facing those dark parts of yourself that you've been hiding from. The guilt, the shame, the regret, the blame, the demons that carry this psychological baggage. So you can integrate these thought patterns and memories with understanding, forgiveness, and love for yourself. So Saturn is moving from 12 degrees in Pisces to 19 degrees in Pisces, and then it's going to move back to 12 degrees. So Saturn begins its retrograde transit on June 29th. It ends its retrograde on November 15th, and it doesn't move out of its retrograde shadow until February 18th of 2025. So from March 23rd, 2024, to February 18th, 2025, Saturn's going to be moving across 12 to 19 degrees in Pisces. So this is why it's important to really have an understanding of what is in your chart in a water sign, an earth sign, or a mutable sign between 12 and 19 degrees. Because whatever is at that point, Saturn is going to be combing over very slowly. And that's an area where you need to take responsibility for what's going on beneath the surface of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as this happens on the same day, Jupiter, the planetary ruler of Pisces, transits out of its retrograde shadow. At 15 degrees in Taurus, the fixed Earth sign symbolized by the bull. So as Saturn is moving into its retrograde shadow, Jupiter is moving out of its retrograde shadow. Jupiter transited into its retrograde shadow on June 11th of last year, 2023. It began its retrograde on September 4th of last year. It ended its retrograde on December 30th. And now Jupiter's transiting out of its retrograde shadow. So where Jupiter is right now is where it was on September 4th. So think about your experience with the material, your self-worth, and your values. What's been going on there for you since June 11th, but even more so since September 4th? What was going on early September for you? Because that's where Jupiter is again.
So we're moving out of a period where that Jupiter energy is really expanding different parts of us.
Yes.
Into a cycle with Saturn that has a more restrictive quality.
Yes. So Saturn is restricting our unconscious. It's
helping us focus.
It's helping us focus. Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's concentrating your attention on your unconscious.
Mm-hmm. And what I want to say about the unconscious piece is I often hear you talk about needing to work on or needing to examine the ways that we are blaming ourselves or these parts of ourselves that are repressed that might be like negative qualities.
Yes.
And I just want to say that, like, in my experience with clients, for example, a lot of people who come to therapy are like might blame themselves too much for things.
Exactly.
So sometimes what you're suppressing is actually the recognition of, like, who does that belong to? You know,
I
like
love that nuance.
Yeah, I just want to reframe and, like, I really want to make this clear to our listeners that what's in your unconscious is not necessarily bad.
No, of course not.
And of course nothing is bad or good. But
yes.
I just want to be really clear that we can suppress, how do I say this? What lives in your shadow is any part of yourself or your experience that you are unaware of. And we can be unaware of positive qualities within ourselves. Like, people all the time aren't aware of their gifts, right?
Of course,
or how
yes.
beautiful or how
yes.
powerful they are. But we can also be unaware of course, these parts that are maybe less desirable qualities. So when it comes to really focusing on what's in your unconscious, that can mean anything.
Yes.
That can be any quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you're someone, let's say, who has a tendency to blame yourself for everything that happens in your relationships, an area of growth for you might be to actually start blaming others, to actually start, instead of pointing that finger at yourself, to actually point a finger at others in your life and ask
yes.
them to take some responsibility for
yes.
their part. Your shadow doesn't always mean that you are taking more responsibility for things. Sometimes it means you're taking less.
And that can be, I really appreciate that other perspective, that other side. I feel like that's a great compliment to the Aries energy that's kind of the driving force of the week, because Aries is like, nah, dog, that was on you. That was, like,
that's not about me at
exactly,
all.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Step out of my way. Don't point the finger at me. Mm-hmm. Not for that. Uh-uh. That's on you. You know, Aries is ready to fight back. And
yeah.
it's so interesting that Pisces precedes Aries, because you know, Pisces is like holding the weight of everything and saying, it's all my responsibility. You know, I've got to, I feel the pain and suffering in the world, and I've got to like, I've got to save the world. And Aries is like, that's got nothing to do with me. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm over here. I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the interesting balance, how we go from the last sign to the first sign. The first sign is fresh. The first sign is like, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Whereas Pisces is like, it's all my problem. Mm-hmm. So we've got like a foot in both sides here.
Right.
And
of course, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly. And right. that's why we have all these different signs with these different energies, is to keep the balance. That's why the zodiac is a circle. It's strong. It's balanced.
Right.
30 degrees in each sign.
I also want to say that what lives in your unconscious are also paths in your life that you decided not to take. So any qualities that you've decided not to pursue, or any life direction that you decided not to pursue. So what I mean by that, for example, is if you are a career person and decided not to have a family, for example, because you decided to pursue your career, then what lives in your unconscious is
that parallel life.
It's anything that you are not consciously living.
Yes.
So any other alternate paths that kind of could have been, that's all living in your shadow. So again, it's not good or bad. It's just the part that you're not, the parts that you've chosen not to experience for whatever reason.
Yes.
So this could also be a period of kind of coming to terms with those alternate paths and like letting them go in a way that, if any of them are haunting you, like the path that you didn't choose, if it's grinding on you in any way, it could be an opportunity to really let that go,
or
to just engage with it on some level that you haven't had a chance to do.
And that's what's interesting about Jupiter, talking about Jupiter and its transit through Taurus, because that's expanding attention towards your values. And so if you are somebody who chose the career instead of the family, taking that expanded look and saying, well, I chose that because I value my career. And that's, and those were the opportunities that came to me. You know, it's not even, it's also kind of like accepting life for what life is, you know, and not trying to force the issue somewhere. And that's where the Aries energy also comes in. It's like, this is mine. It's very clear because it's here for me. Whereas if, you know, when if somebody says, well, why didn't you ever have kids? Because I didn't find a partner that wanted to have kids, or I didn't find a partner, or what, you know, it's not like it's my fault. You know, this is what life presented to me. And yes, I do value my career and whatever else in my life that I have. And I think Jupiter in Taurus is helping us have a more philosophical view about what we do value. What is in my life? Do I value what's in my life? If yes, why? If not, why? But it's giving us, you know, Jupiter is this philosophical planet. It's the planet of faith. And it's been lumbering through this sign of Taurus, really pushing us to expand our philosophical awareness of how we're making money, where we're spending money, how we relate to the material.
Well, and I appreciate how you acknowledged that sometimes the path that we've taken is not always by choice.
Exactly.
Sometimes
it's kind of both.
Sometimes, I mean, conscious choice,
yes.
I should say. But yeah, sometimes the path that you've taken was the only path that was available.
Exactly.
And for some folks, you might have made a conscious choice to choose path A versus path B. But for many folks, you just walk down the path that presented itself.
Exactly. You know, and like what you said earlier, it's about letting it go, that other life. You know, that's, I think, the Saturn in Pisces, the guilt, the shame, the regret, the blame. It's like, you don't have to blame yourself for that. It's like when I got super into astrology, one of the huge relief that I had, you know, like I always had this idea, like I want to be an actor and a writer. And, you know, I went to acting school and, you know, I saw people in my acting school make it big. And like, why didn't that happen for me? You know, if only I would have worked harder, if I would have studied more, if I, you know, it was like, it was all on me. Mm-hmm. I was putting all the, you know, the whole reason why I wasn't the success that I wanted to be, it was all my fault. And then when I've discovered my astrological code and what that was, and I looked at, I did this like simple sort of research. I looked at every single Oscar winner that I could find, their primal triad, the sun, the moon, and the rising sign. And 85% of them had air in the triad, 75% had fire, 65% had earth, 45% had water, 45% had water, 45% also had Leo in the primal triad. My primal triad is earth and water. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, no wonder I like kind of froze up there on stage when I was trying to do a scene with somebody. I felt like that throat come in, like you were saying. I was like, I couldn't talk, you know. But then I was like, well, but why did you choose to do that? And I saw like my sun opposite the ascendant and like other sort. I was like, okay, so this makes sense. I understand why I went down that path, but I also understand why that path didn't open up for me.
Right.
So it wasn't anything that I had done. It was actually the path was closing because I needed to be in this other direction.
Right.
Over here.
Mm-hmm. That's why when we meet people who are representing a shadow part of ourselves, like people who did take that path that we didn't take, we can either feel really interested and like attracted to them, like we want to be around that person, or we can feel kind of repelled by them because they represent this part of us that we, for whatever reason, wasn't attainable for us. So it's interesting to consider sort of how is that showing up in your life.
Yes.
The people who are living sort of your shadow life, like what is your relationship with them?
Yes.
But there's really a potential, I think, for a lot of healing in those relationships,
right?
Because you are probably representing to them their shadow.
Exactly.
As well.
Yes.
So there's a real opportunity to kind of get some clarity on some level.
Yes.
Around, well, like what that was about for you.
Totally. I think some of that could come up this week, because as we close out the week, Jupiter, which is moving out of its retrograde shadow, aligns with Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, in Pisces, the sign where Venus is exalted. So Jupiter rules Pisces. Jupiter's transiting through Taurus. Venus is the planetary ruler of Taurus. Venus is transiting through Pisces. So Venus is exalted in Pisces, aligning with Jupiter in the sign that Venus rules, while Venus is transiting through the sign that Jupiter rules. There's a lot of like, this is such a gift. I just feel like this water earth connection, it's helping you to really delve into the unconscious of your relationships with others, the dream, the fantasy of maybe that shadow side, connecting with somebody. You know, it's like you hear it all the time, or I hear it all the time with people that don't have kids, fantasizing about, you know, what it would be like to have, you know, they see their friends that have kids and they're like, oh, they feel like they're missing out. But then you hear the people that have kids and they're like, oh, you were the smart one. You never had, I love my kids. I mean, I'm not saying anything about them, all my kids, but Boy, you can have a good life without kids, I can imagine. You know, it's like they fantasize about that too.
Well, it's so, kind of the grass is always greener.
The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Exactly. So, you know, and so that's what's coming up here. It forms an exact sextile on Sunday, March 25th, but this is an energy that we're feeling on Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday of next week. And it's really helping us to reimagine what we want our relationships to be based on our values, our self-worth. Do the people that we're in partnership value, honor, reflect, or respect our values? Do I honor, reflect, and respect their values? Even if they're coming from a different perspective, they're the shadow side of me. But maybe that's why we're friends, is I can appreciate that life that maybe I would have had if I went left instead of right.
And it's your way of sort of living vicariously through them,
exactly.
In some way.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like you're peeking over their fence.
Yes, exactly.
you're like, huh, that could have been me. It's not, but there's a part of me that was curious about
that. Yes. I feel like it's a really beautiful ending to the week, and it's going to support us into next week, where next week we're going to talk about the lunar eclipse, the full moon in Libra, which happens on midnight, at midnight on Monday of next week. So that'll be in next week's episode. But that's a big release in terms of relationships. So there's a lot of healing happening here in terms of our sensory awareness, our values, our self-worth, and how we connect to others. And I just really feel like it's such a support with everything that's going on, with Mercury transiting through Aries, the Sun transiting through Aries, building that self-confidence, connecting to the community, how do we relate to others? There's a real sort of rebirth of who we are going to be moving forward happening during this period of time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And a real sort of balance of getting time to explore your inner world, but also really clearly bridging the gap between your inner world and your outer world.
Absolutely.
And seeing, like, how are you showing up in reality?
Yes.
What does that mean for the group?
Yes.
Which is a whole other level of awareness.
Exactly.
Right? Than just sitting home all day and sort of contemplating, you know, what's going on in your inner world. Like, that's valuable to a point. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go out and interact with the world because you get perspective. You get more information about yourself that way, too.
Yes. And then you come home and you reflect and you process it through your thoughts and all that sort of stuff, and then cycle out again.
Right. But we need that time in relationships, and then we need that time by ourselves.
Exactly.
And it's all part of that cycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Powerful week.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Our first question comes from Andrea. Andrea asks, is there a transiting Pluto opposition natal Saturn that isn't devastating? Asking for a friend.
Andrea, is that friend me? Because that's a transit that I'm going to be experiencing over couple of years. And so, were you or your friend born in 1975, 76, that period of time? Or would it have been, you definitely, because I doubt you were born in 2006 or five. So
probably not.
Yeah. So,
so do you need to start a Pluto opposite Saturn support group?
Maybe. I mean, I was actually just thinking about that the other day because I had a really, really hard day. I felt just really broken down. And I was like looking at that Saturn, my Saturn opposite the transiting Pluto. And I was like, yeah, this is the vibe for the next couple of years. Like, I have to be open to the transformation of my authority, my sense of responsibility, my heart. This is, I think of this, Andrea, as transforming your heart. You know, those who were born with Saturn in Leo, we have really big hearts, but we need to work at opening them. But the more that we work on opening them, the bigger the expression of our heart will be. And so when you think of Pluto transiting through Aquarius, this is really that time for those that were born in the mid-70s, I'd say 75, 76, maybe 77, a little later on, but to really find your place in society, to open your heart, to be courageous, to be yourself, to be bold in your self-expression, to take responsibility for what's in your heart, holding yourself accountable for what's in your heart, because your heart is what you need to give a part of your heart, the expression of your heart to society. So how are you contributing to the community, to the group, to society? The more that you're open, the more that you're opening your heart, the more that you're working on your heart and the expression of your heart, hopefully the less devastating it will be. But it's through that devastation that you find the strength of your heart.
Mm-hmm. I think of it like we know that Leo rules the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So if the heart is ruled by Leo, then we can understand the relationship between the heart and the sun.
Yes.
So I almost think of this, if you have a restriction, if you have Saturn in Leo, it's like you have a cloud in front of your heart. It's like you're a cloudy day. And so the other planets that want to orbit around the sun can't see you clearly.
Yeah, so they can't find you.
They can't find
you. Yes.
And so that process of like transforming that heart energy is about letting yourself just shine.
Yes, exactly.
So that you can be the center. You know, the sun is the center of the solar system from our perspective, and the heart is the center of your body.
Yes, exactly.
So it's
no sun, no life, no heart, no life.
Yeah, so it's helping you be magnetic and literally be bright enough so that you can be found.
Yes. This is the time to live. And so these next 2 years for me, these next 2-3 years for me, I am going to work at shining, shining my light, sharing my warmth,
and it goes
being bold.
And it goes both ways. It's going to support you in loving others more fully, but also them loving you more fully. It's going to be this beautiful synergy.
The heartbeat is a beacon. It's the mating call that is attracting people to you.
Well, in the first sense that a baby develops in the womb is their sense of hearing.
Mm.
And the first sound that they hear is the heartbeat.
Yes. That's so, the first organ that is developed in the fetus is the heart.
So in terms of how foundational this transit could be, you know, we can look at it from these biological perspectives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So beautiful, so powerful. I'm with you or your friend, Andrea.
We think it's you, but hang in there.
Yes. Thank you so much for that question.
Yeah. Thank you. And keep us posted on on how you're doing.
Absolutely.
Scott understands.
I do. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Our next question comes from Manuel. Manuel asks, how important are the degrees in an aspect? And does a 0 degree have any significance to it? Also, why is there no 30 degrees in a chart?
Thank you, Manuel, for your question. I'll start with the last part first. The reason why there's no 30 degree in the chart is because when you think of a circle, there's 360 degrees. You divide that by 12 signs. There's 30 degrees in each sign. They begin at 0. They end at 29. So if they began at 1, then you'd have a 30 degree and there'd be no 0 degree. But because they begin at 0, 0 is like the 30th degree, right? Because it goes 0, 1. 1 is actually the second degree of the sign. 2 is actually the third degree of the sign, because the first degree of the sign is 0. So the 29th degree is the 30th degree.
That's a little confusing.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I wonder, it's just confusing
how it's laid out.
Why it starts at zero versus one. But it sounds like that just is the way it is.
That is the way it is. It starts at zero. It ends at 29. If you count the number of degrees from zero to 29, there's 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the first part of the question, how important are the degrees in an aspect? And does zero have any significance to it? Yes, and they're very important. And yes, zero does have a significance. The significance of zero is it's the first degree. So I think of the energy of going from like 29 to zero, it's very intense. It's like shaking up a champagne bottle and popping the cork.
That's a great image.
It's a shift, you know, or it's like walking out of, like, you've ever gone to the movies in the middle of the summer, it's a hot day, you get there, the movie's like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you come out, you go out the back door of the theater at like 3 o'clock, you're in the dark theater for 2 hours. Like, you better have some sunglasses on because that sun is blinding when you walk out the back door of a theater. That's the shift in the energy from 29 to zero. So zero is the first degree. It indicates like the initiation. It's the baby.
It's kind of, a death, birth.
Yes.
Cycle.
The 29th is the final degree. Yes. The 29th is the final degree. It's the end. And zero is the beginning. So the beginning is new. It's the new energy. The 29th is finishing up the old energy. Now, how important are the degrees in an aspect? They're important in, like, if you have two planets, let's say, like we were talking about Mercury conjunct the North Node at 15 degrees. That's most strongly felt when they're both at 15 degrees. You're going to start to feel that when Mercury's at 13, 14. I mean, you might start feeling it when Mercury's at 10, 11, 12, 13. But then by the time it gets to 15, that's when it's most strongly felt. Then it moves past at 16 and it starts to fade. Mm-hmm. By the time it gets to 20, you're not really feeling it so much anymore. Mm-hmm. So the degrees, I just think of them as like kind of a roadmap. It's how strongly different points are connecting. So if you have something, if you were born with the sun at 15 degrees in Cancer, when Mercury gets to that 15 degree point in Aries, that's going to be very intense. Mm-hmm. You might feel like you're going through your own personal Mercury retrograde where your mind isn't working as sharply as it normally does. You're feeling maybe a little antsy and you're maybe being more impulsive than normal because Saturn is all about subtleties.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tells you how strongly you're feeling the energy or how intensely or strongly you're going to feel the energy.
Right. And when those degrees are close to one another, that's when you actually experience impact.
Yes.
It's like if you saw someone across the room at a party, you're aware of their presence and they're aware of yours.
Uh-huh.
But when you cross the room towards one another and hug each other, for example, you've made contact.
Yes.
And so the connection is stronger. And whatever sort of alchemy is going on, whether it's a harmonious connection or one that's more challenging, the experience is heightened.
Such a great analogy. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gabriella.
That's a great question. These are really interesting sort of like technical details, mm-hmm. I think, that we don't often think about. Like, why is this important? Or
yes.
What do these numbers mean? But so much of it is about what is touching other things in the chart.
Like, totally.
Who's interacting at the party?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
And what are their intentions? No. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, right, Andrea and Manuel, for your questions. We really appreciate them. Feel free to write in more questions, whoever has a question for Gabriella or me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all of your support with the podcast, for listening in. We wish you all the best in the week ahead, and we'll see you next week.
Until then.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian, wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.